Maybe that's why he laughs so much, because he isn't able to keep all the pieces out. He conducts these tours, serious women in blazer jackets nodding to him as he points out how much things have improved over the years. He points out the TV, the big leather chairs, the sanitary drinking fountains. Then they all go have coffee in the nurse's station. Sometimes he'll be by himself and just stand in the middle of the day room and clap his hands. You can hear they are wet. Clap them two or three times till they stick, then hold them prayer-like together under one of his chins and start spinning. Spin round and around there in the middle of the floor, looking wild and frantic at the TV, the new pictures on the walls, the sanitary drinking fountain, and laughing. What he sees that's so funny he don't ever let us in on, and the only thing I can see funny is him spinning round and around out there like a rubber toy. If you push him over, he's weighted on the bottom and straightaway rocks back upright, goes to spinning again. He never, never looks at the men's faces. 10:40, 45, 50, patients shuttle in and out to appointments in ET or OT or PT, or in queer little rooms somewhere where the walls are never the same size and the floors aren't level. The machinery sounds about you reach a steady cruising speed. The ward hums the way I heard a cotton mill hum once when the football team played a high school in California. After a good season one year, the boosters in the town were so proud and carried away that they paid to fly us to California to play a championship high school team down there. When we flew into the town, we had to go visit some local industry. Our coach was one for convincing folks that athletics was educational because of the learning afforded by travel. And every trip we took, he herded the team around to creameries and beet farms and canneries before the game. In California, it was the cotton mill. When we went in the mill, most of the team took a look and left to go sit in the bus over stud games on suitcases, but I stayed inside over in a corner out of the way of the Negro girls running up and down the aisles of machines. The mill put me in a kind of dream, all the humming and clicking and rattling of people and machinery, jerking around in a pattern. That's why I stayed when the others left. That, and because it reminded me somehow of the men in the tribe who'd left the village in the last days to do work on the gravel crusher for the dam. The frenzied pattern, the faces hypnotized by routine. I wanted to go out in the bus with the team, but I couldn't. It was morning in early winter, and I still had on the jacket they'd given us when we took the championship, a red and green jacket with leather sleeves and a football-shaped emblem sewn on the back telling what we'd won. And it was making a lot of the Negro girls stare. I took it off, but they kept staring. I was a whole lot bigger in those days. One of the girls left her machine and looked back and forth up the aisles to see if the foreman was around, then came over to where I was standing.